Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, and like we've been talking about, we are not going to be in our regular series this morning or tonight. Again, I want to just encourage you to be back tonight. I'm preaching a sermon entitled The Christian Response to the Coronavirus, and I think it'll be interesting and helpful to you, so I want to encourage you to be back tonight. This morning, I am preaching about our vision offering because of the fact that we're taking our special vision offering this coming Sunday, and I want to, of course, give you some thoughts in regards to that. And I'm preaching on the subject of things to consider before a special offering, or things to consider before the vision offering. And there's some things I'd like you to consider and think about this week as we prepare for the vision offering. Now, before we get into the sermon, let me just give you one thought on a disclaimer, and then one discerning tip, all right? The disclaimer is this, that we don't preach a lot about money at Verity Baptist Church. And if you've came to our church for any length of time, you know that we preach a lot of things, we teach a lot of things, and we're not one of these churches that's just hounding you for money every week. You go to most churches today, and every sermon's going to have a tip about, or something about money, and they have a little mini tithing sermon before every offering. We don't do that. We just trust that the Lord will take care of us. But giving and offerings are a biblical concept. They're taught all throughout the Bible. We're going to look at it this morning. So we do take time every year to teach on it and preach on it. We always do it in a way that's systematic and in a way that's on purpose. So every year we hold a special offering, and I do teach on it. We're not ashamed of that. I'm not apologizing for that. But I just want you to look at it in its context and realize that that's not something we emphasize here at Verity Baptist Church. With that said, though, that's your disclaimer. Here's a tip on discernment. If it bothers you that I'm preaching about giving, then there's something wrong with your heart. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. One known verse, Matthew 6:21. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And if preaching on giving and offerings and generosity, if that bothers you, you need to realize that it bothers you because Jesus said that your heart will be where you put your money. And if your money is in things that are not of God, then your heart's going to be there. And if your heart's with God, then giving to God and giving to the house of God and the work of God shouldn't be something that bothers you. So if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, "I can't believe he's preaching about money," just realize that there's probably an issue with your heart, and you ought to ask the Lord to help you with that, and you ought to consider the things we're talking about this morning. So I want to give you three thoughts this morning in regards to things to consider before a special offering, things to consider before a special offering, and specifically things to consider before the vision offering. I'm going to give these to you as quickly as we can. I know the announcements were long this morning and we had a video and all of that, but we'll go through this as quickly as possible. And I'd like you to jot these thoughts down because I want you to be reflecting on them throughout the week and thinking about them and praying about them. And on the back of your course of the week, there is a place, of course, for you to write some notes down. And I want you to notice there in 1 Chronicles 29, I'll give you point number one here in a second. Let's look at the verse. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender." Now this, of course, David is preparing and he's going to organize a special offering that's going to be taken that they're going to give in order for Solomon one day to be able to build the temple. So they're holding a special offering. That's why I think it's interesting when people sometimes will speak negative and say, "Oh, you guys are doing a special offering." All throughout the Bible, you'll notice that special offerings were organized for special things, to accomplish special things. And here David is organizing a special offering, and it's going to be for Solomon to be able to build the temple one day. And I want you to notice what he emphasizes there in verse 1. He says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender." And then he says this, "And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." And here's point number one, and I'd like you to write this down. When it comes to the vision offering or any sort of special offering, you ought to consider the work that will be supported with the offering. You ought to consider the work What is it that is that your money is actually going to go towards that you're going to be supporting with the offering? See, David here makes it clear in this chapter. And in verse 1, right off the bat, he says, look, we're going to take a special offering. We're going to raise some additional money to be able to do some special things. He says, we've got some time, and that's good because the work is great. He says, this is a big work. We're doing something big here. But look, we're not doing something big for ourselves, David would say. We're not doing something big for Solomon, David would say. David would say, he says, the work is great. He says, for, because the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And he says, look, yeah, David is telling the people here, you ought to consider getting involved. You ought to consider giving, because the work that you will be supporting will be a great work for the Lord. Notice there, keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles 29. That's our text for this morning. Go back to 1 Chronicles 22. And look at verse number 5. In 1 Chronicles 22, we have David talking about this, something they've been talking about and preparing for a long time. 1 Chronicles 22, and look at verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says. Notice what David said. 1 Chronicles 22, 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded, notice, for the Lord. The house that is to be builded for the Lord must be, notice what he says, exceeding, I love this word, magnifical. All right, and that's just an archaic or older way of saying magnificent or grandiose. He says, look, we're building a house for the Lord. He said, we're doing something great for the Lord, and it must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory through all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. And I want you to notice that David, as they were preparing to take a special offering, he said, look, you ought to consider the fact that this money is going to go to support the work of the Lord. And for yourself and for myself, as we enter into a special offering, we ought to consider the work that will be supported with the offering. Now, again, keep your place there in 1 Chronicles. That's our text. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, if you would. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, do me a favor and put your ribbon there or a bookmark, because we're going to leave it, and we're going to come back to 1 and 2 Corinthians a lot throughout the sermon this morning. So I want you to be able to get there quickly. Make sure you keep your place in 1 Corinthians. And here's what I'm saying. When I say you ought to consider the work that will be supported with the offering, what I'm saying is you ought to consider the work of this church. And by the way, before you ever give anything, whether you see something online or you see some commercial and they're asking you to give and you're going to give money, before you give money to anything, you ought to consider the work that will be supported with the offering. Notice there, notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. Now, for sake of clarity, you need to know that this is in the context of giving money to pay spiritual leadership, but the idea is of giving money. And notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. He says this, if we, this is Paul speaking as a spiritual leader, someone who's planted churches, who's preached sermons, who's helped people spiritually. He says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, he says, if we have invested in you spiritually, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, if we've helped you spiritually, if we got you saved, if we helped you grow in the Lord, if we've discipled you, if we've helped your marriage, if we've helped you with the raising of your children, if we've helped you with knowing just how to live your life and how to succeed, if this church has been a help to you, and here's really all I'm telling, and I'm saying is this, I'm not telling you need to do anything, but I'm asking this, in the next week as we prepare for this vision offering, would you consider, if this church has helped you in your life, would you consider helping the church? You ought to consider the work. See, David said, hey, the work is great. You say, why is it great? Because it's for the Lord. Now, we're not raising money to build a building. One day we may raise money to build a building. We have raised money in the past to move into buildings and remodel buildings. This year, that's not the case. But I'll tell you this, we're building lives. We're building the kingdom of God, and we're building the house of God, and we're trying to help and equip and edify. And you ought to consider this as you enter into, as we enter the, this week of vision offering, you ought to consider, has this church been a help to you? Amen. Has this church been a blessing to you? Amen. And if it has, would you consider helping the church? So when it comes to things to consider, you ought to consider the work that will be supported with the offering. And here's what I know, because many of you are kind enough to communicate these things to myself and to my wife and to the staff. is that many of you do have a testimony that this church has changed your life. That this church has helped you in so many ways and it has been a blessing to you. And here's all we're saying. We're saying, if the church has helped you, would you consider helping the church? If the church has helped you, would you consider helping the church? So when it comes to special offerings, you got to consider the work that will be supported with the offering. But there's a second thing I'd like you to consider. If you make your way back to 2 Chronicles 29, keep your place there in 1 Corinthians because we're going to come back to it. There's a second thing you ought to consider, and it's this. Not only should you consider the work that will be supported with the offering, but secondly, you ought to consider the willingness of your own heart towards this offering. You ought to consider the work that is being supported. What exactly is it that this church is doing? What is it that this church is accomplishing? What is it that we want to continue to do? Do you believe in what we're doing in Manila and in Pampanga and in Fresno? Do you believe that we've done well in the church plants that we've had in the past in Vancouver and Idaho and the things that we've accomplished? Do you believe what we're doing here and reaching this local area with the gospel? Do you believe in what we teach and preach? And if you consider the work and you say, yes, I agree with it. Yes, it's the work of the Lord. Yes, it needs to be great and done greatly for God. Then I would consider you, I would ask you to consider to help the church if it's been a help to you. But secondly, I would say you ought to consider the willingness of your own heart. You ought to consider the willingness of your own heart. And if there is one thing that is overly emphasized throughout the entire Bible when it comes to giving, and I'm going to show you just a couple examples, but we could literally spend the entire service just going through verse after verse after verse after verse in the entire Bible. If we looked at every passage that had to do with a special offering, and I've got the notes on my phone. If you want to see them, I'd be happy to go through it with you. If there's one thing that's emphasized, it's the willingness of the individual to give. Notice there in 1 Chronicles 29, I'll just give you a couple of examples, but there's so many examples of this throughout the entire Bible. Once you see it, it's hard to miss. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 6, the Bible says this. This is, of course, David dealing with the special offering. He says, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, notice, offered willingly. They offered willingly. Look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they, notice, offered willingly because with perfect heart they, notice the words, offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You know, I grew up in church my entire life, and I've been a part of different churches, and I've been at different churches at different times, at different seasons, when they're raising money and having offerings, and all of that is great. One thing that churches are often known for, a couple of things that churches are often known for, is manipulating or trying to manipulate people into giving. Oftentimes, they'll use guilt, try to guilt you into giving, or they'll use shame, try to shame you into giving. And for the last 10 years at Verity Baptist Church, as we've held these special offerings year after year, one thing that I've consistently said and that we try to have a culture at Verity Baptist Church is that, look, we don't want you to feel pressured, manipulated, shamed, or guilted into giving. If you give, if you partake of the vision offering, it ought to be done willingly. And you ought to consider the willingness of your own heart. And here's all I'm telling you. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, well, I'm not willing. I don't want to give. Then here's the truth. We don't want you to give. And I say that every year, and I think it's important to be said. Look, we want you to give willingly. We want you to consider. And that's why we began with that point. If this church has genuinely helped you, if you're genuinely thankful for the ministry of Verity Baptist Church, would you consider giving? And maybe you'd say, I'm not thankful. I don't like this place. I'm not even really sure why I'm here. I was hoping I'd catch coronavirus and die. I'm not sure why you're here. You know, this place has been, I'm just here because my wife dragged me here, or my husband dragged me here, or my parents dragged me here, or whatever the reason is. You know, I don't, and look, if that's you, then look, we're giving you permission. We're giving you permission. Don't feel guilty or shamed into giving because we want you to consider the willingness of your own heart. Are you willing to give? I've said this every year, I think, that I preach this vision offering sermon. I used to work for a company where the owner, he was a Christian, and he would say this, we only want happy money. We only want happy money. And this was a business. This wasn't a church. And he would say, if we go out and we provide a service or we provide a product and the customer is not happy, he says, we will give them their money back, because we want people to be happy with what we've done for them. And you know, at Verity Baptist Church, I'm telling you, when it comes to the vision offering next week, you know, you say, Pastor, do you know how the vision offering is going to go? It's usually a great success, and this coronavirus thing and all the fears and the panic and the stock market and all that stuff, you know, is it going to affect it? I don't know. I'm sure it will. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But I'm telling you this, no matter what happens next week at the vision offering, whether it's a huge success or it's not as big as it usually is or whatever, I know this, we only want happy money. We only want people to give who are giving willingly, who are offering willingly from their heart. Now, you say, well, how do I know if I'm willing? How do I know if I'm willing to give? Well, let me give you some characteristics of a willing heart and those who are willing to give. First of all, a willing heart will give lovingly. A willing heart will give out of love. Are you there in 1 Chronicles 29? Look at verse 3. Notice what David said. He said, moreover, he says, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. See, the Bible says, set your affection on things on high. And to not set your affection on the things of the earth. And David here, he says, I have set my affection to the house of my God. He says, I love the house of God. I love the work of God. I love the work that's being done for the Lord in the house of God. He says, I have set my affection to the house of my God. And then he says this, I have of mine own proper good. Because David was the king of Israel. He said, I want you to know, I'm not taking out of the treasury of the government. I'm not taking out of the bank account of the government. He says, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. He says, look, I'm giving to the house of God because I've set my affection to the house of God. See, you say, how do I know if my heart's willing? Well, you'll know it's willing when you're giving out of love. Because here's the truth. The truth is this, love always gives. Now you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. The most famous verse in the Bible proves this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son. See, the truth is this, you can't truly love without giving. Now you can give without loving, you can be manipulated into giving, you can be shamed into giving, you can be guilted into giving, you can be tricked into giving, and we want to avoid that. But you can't genuinely love without giving. And here David says, he says, I have set my affection to the house of my God. And if you're here this morning and you say, I love Verity Baptist Church, I love the work that's being done here. Obviously, we're not perfect. Obviously, we have issues. Obviously, we're a group of sinners saved by grace. But I love the things that are being done here. Then your heart will give willingly. So what does it mean to give willingly? Well, a willing heart will give lovingly. Secondly, a willing heart will give sacrificially. Sacrificially. Notice verse number 3 there again. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, he says, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Notice what he says, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He says, look, what I'm giving is over and above what's already been prepared. What I'm giving is over and above what's already set aside. He says, I'm not only giving lovingly, David says, I'm giving sacrificially. I love those words. He says, over and above. See, a willing heart is not only going to give lovingly, but a willing heart is going to give sacrificially. What does that mean? That means that it costs you something to give. Go back to 1 Chronicles 21, if you would. 1 Chronicles 21. Now, this temple that they're going to build, that David's raising money for, it's going to be built on a certain mountain. And in 1 Chronicles 21, we actually have the story of when that mountain was purchased. And I want you to notice, because this really was the first step in this giving process for the temple. And I want you to notice what the Bible emphasizes. Now, there's a whole story connected to this about a plague, and we're not going to go into that. We'll talk about plagues tonight. But look at 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 22. Then David said to Onan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price that the plague may be stayed from the people. See, God was plaguing the children of Israel because of the sins of David, and God had showed mercy and grace and had stopped the plague at this threshing floor. And David said, I want to buy this threshing floor, and I want to build an altar because I'm grateful and thankful for the grace of God. And eventually, this would be the location where the temple would be built. But I want you to notice that David goes to the man who owns the land, Ornan, and he says, thou shalt grant it me, verse 22, for the full price that the plague may be stayed from the people. Now notice the response from Ornan, verse 23. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, he says, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat of the offering. I give it all. So here David comes to Ornan and he says, I want to buy this land because I want to build an altar here, and eventually a temple is going to be built here, and I want to pay you for the full price. And Ornan is a generous man, and he says, I give you the land. He said, I give you the oxen. He said, I give you the instruments for wood. He said, do what you want with it. He said, I give it all. Very generous man, Ornan. But I want you to notice David's response, verse 24. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. He says, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offering without cost. David said, hey, Ornan, I appreciate your generosity. I appreciate that you're willing to sacrifice and give to the work of God. But he said, I'm not going to take what's yours and give that to God. He said, I'm not going to offer to the Lord without it costing me something. David said, I want to give lovingly, but I want to give sacrificially. I want to sacrifice. I want it to cost me something. I want to be able to sacrifice to give to the work of the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you kept your place there in 1 Corinthians, the next book over is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You see, you ought to consider the work that will be supported, and you ought to consider the willingness of your heart. You say, well, how do I know if my heart's willing? Well, if your heart has love in it for the work of God, it'll be willing. And if your heart wants to sacrifice and say, I don't want to just give God something that didn't cost me anything. I don't want to give God something that didn't provide any sacrifice. I want to give to the Lord. I want to sacrifice. Well, here's what we know. Love always sacrifices. Amen. Love always gives. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 2. Notice what the Apostle Paul. Here in 2 Corinthians, we have the Apostle Paul. It's a New Testament passage. And he's raising money for a special offering, something he's doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 2. Notice what the Bible says. How that in a great trial of affliction. Here the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, you were going through a great trial of affliction. You know, maybe they had a coronavirus outbreak. I don't know. But he said, you're going through a difficult time in your life. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He says, look, you were going through a great time of affliction. You were going through deep poverty. This is a church that was in a location where things were hard and they were struggling. But notice, they didn't have the riches of the world, but they did have the riches of their liberality. Amen. What does that mean? It means they were generous. It means that they were wanting to give. Look at verse 3. For to their power, that means to their ability, to the place where they were able to, he says, for to their power I bear record, yea, even beyond their power. That's kind of how David said, over and above. He says, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And don't miss that word, willing. They were willing to give. Why? Because of their love. A willing heart will give lovingly. And they were willing to give because of their sacrifice. They were willing to their power, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Notice verse number 13, the same chapter. 2 Corinthians 8:13. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. And look, I'm telling you here at Verity Baptist Church, I'm telling you, the goal of this vision offering is not that some of you be burdened while others are eased. And again, Paul is talking about a special offering here. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. He says in verse 14, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want. He says that there may be equality. And here's what he's saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to be able to give sacrificially. But he said, we're looking for equal sacrifice. And here's what you need to understand. When it comes to the vision offering, we're not looking for equal giving. We haven't done this, and I'm not necessarily against this. Sometimes churches, they'll do offerings where they'll say, we want 10 people to give $5,000. We're asking for 10 people to give $5,000. You know, I've never really been for that, or we need 20 people to give $1,000 or whatever. I've never really been for that because of the fact that $1,000, $500, $20,000, that means different things to different people. For some people, you want me to give $1,000? I mean, I could never afford that. And for other people, $1,000, you know, that's no problem at all. You know, we've always structured our giving here to say, hey, we're not looking for equal amount, but we are looking for equal sacrifice. What we're saying is that we want you to stretch yourself. We want you to sacrifice. We want it to hurt a little bit. We want you, like David, to say, I'm not going to offer to the Lord of that which costs me nothing. So consider this. You say, well, is my heart willing? Consider how much can I give and sacrifice? And for you, that number may be different than for other people. For you, that number may be a lot higher than for other people. For you, that number may be lower than for other people. The point is not the amount you give. The point is the amount of sacrifice, and we're looking for equal sacrifice. So you got to consider the willingness of your heart. And a willing heart will give lovingly. A willing heart will give sacrificially. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I think you're in 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he's dealing with this idea of special offerings. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 7. Notice what he says. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. You see that? That's giving on purpose, willing heart, not someone that's being manipulated, not someone that's being guilted, not someone that's being shamed, not someone that's being tricked. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, so let him give, so let him give. He says, here's how you ought to give, here's how you ought to give. Not grudgingly, not grudgingly. Or of necessity. Not grudgingly or of necessity. And look, I realize I preach this every year. You know, we look at different passages. I package it differently and I try to give it differently. But at the end of the day, there's only so many passages that deal with giving in the Bible. And every year I explain this to you and I want to explain it to you again. We want your attitude for giving to be the right attitude. And look, honestly, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm telling you, if you give to the vision offering grudgingly with a bad attitude, we honestly keep your money. We don't want it. And it's not like we don't want it, like we're better than you. We're saying like, we'd rather your heart be happy about what's going on. Hey, just let us minister to you for a while. And once you've figured out that we love you and we're trying to help you, and once you're thankful, then maybe your heart will give. But if you're not there, that's fine. You got to consider your heart and your willingness. You ought to consider the work that's being done. Is this a work that I want to support? You ought to consider the willingness of your heart. And you say, well, how do I know if my heart's willing? Well, are you giving out of love? Are you willing? Are you giving sacrificially? And are you giving cheerfully? He says, look, not grudgingly, but then he says this, or of necessity. Or of necessity. See, another tactic that churches often use to get people to give, you know, They'll turn the lights off. We turned the lights off earlier, but it's because we're watching a video, all right? They'll turn the lights off and be like, now listen, if you guys don't give, we're not going to be able to turn the lights back on. Wow. If you guys don't give, you know, we're not going to be able, they're going to shut us down. We're not going to be able to make the bills. They're going to take away our whatever. Look, let me tell you something. You say, Pastor, why are you guys taking a vision offering? You know, is the church struggling? Look, don't give out of necessity. All right? My God is able to take care of our needs. You know, God, our God, He is able. Nothing is impossible for God. We're not, you say, well, if the vision offering, look, if you feel like I got to give or it's out of necessity, then just keep your money. The Lord will provide. You ought not give. He says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. You say, why? Here's why. For God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants you to give out of love. God wants you to give cheerfully. God wants you to give happily. God wants you to give sacrificially. That all comes from a willing heart. Now, let me just go ahead and say this, and some of you have sat through these vision offering sermons now for years, and you know that this is something we do every year, but let me say this. When we started this vision offering concept at our church and started raising money, the first time we raised money for a church van, then we raised money for the first building that we moved into out of the house, and then the second building, the third building. We've raised money for all sorts of things, the Red Hot Preaching Conference, the satellite churches we've planted to upgrade, I mean, just the things we do around here. When we first started the vision offering concept, I had a pastor tell me this. He gave me this advice. I don't know if it was the right advice or the wrong advice. It's the advice he gave me, and it's the advice I took, and we've done it for years. And he told me that my wife and I should tell our church family how much we are planning to give at the vision offering. And he said, the reason you want to do that is because you want your church people. He said, pastors, you have this reputation where people think like, oh, he's trying to get our money, but you know, he doesn't have any skin in the game. So he said, you got to tell the people how much you're planning to give so people know, hey, you're involved in this too. And we've done that over the years, and we've done that. Now, let me just tell you this, and I need to give the disclaimers. The Bible teaches about not boasting or bragging about how much you give. The Bible says that when you give to be seen of men, you've lost your reward. Now, my wife and I don't know, maybe over the last 10 years, we've lost all the rewards that we would have got for the vision offering. That's fine. We just want you to know that I'm not asking you, and we're not asking you to do something that we're not willing to do. We are going to give to this vision offering ourselves. Now, let me just go ahead and give another disclaimer, because there are people out there who, you know, forgive me, but I don't know what other word to describe other than the word idiot. It's the only word that comes to mind, you know, but they get this idea, and maybe that's too much, you know, I don't know, the coronavirus is messing with me, but sometimes people get this idea, you know, people get this idea, and let me go ahead and just talk about this, if you would. People get this idea that like, oh, you know, whatever money comes to the church, that's our money. Like, people get this idea, like, at the back of the bulletin when it says, you know, $15,000 came in so far, or $20,000 came, or $30,000 came into the church, that, like, we take that money home or something, all right? And people literally, one time, there was a family, they don't come to our church anymore, but they gave a big amount to the church, and then the wife was telling my wife, like, oh, I'm sure that helped you guys out this month. And my wife's like, what are you talking about? Look, literally, if you guys think that's how it works, that's how pastors go to prison, okay? People end up in prison that way. That is not how that works, all right? You know, at Verity Baptist Church, you know, for myself and for the staff, there are set payment amounts that they earn, you know, that the staff's on a salary, I'm on a salary. We have trustees that every year review my, you know, how much money I make, and those decisions are not made by me alone. We've got trustees that make those decisions and all of that. We are paid a certain amount. You know, we do have to pay all the bills and all the activities and all those things around here that comes, all of the money. We are paid a certain amount. So when I'm telling you, when I tell you, here's what we're giving for the vision offering, I'm telling you, we are given a certain amount every month to live off of. We have to budget. We have to pay bills. We have, just like you, all right? We work. This is a work of God, but I'm working just like you work, all right? So just realize, we've been saving money and putting money aside over the last several months, knowing the vision offering is coming, knowing that we want to give to the vision offering, just like you. So I don't want you to think, because people get this idea like, oh, pastor said he's going to give this much. He just goes into the church bank account, takes it out, and then gives it back to the church. Number one, that's ridiculous. Number two, that's how you end up in prison, all right? So if any of you had any inclination as to that's what happens at Verity Baptist Church, I'm sorry for calling you an idiot, but I don't know what else to call it. That is not how the real world works, okay? With that said, my wife and I, and this is what we've done every year for the last several years, we honestly haven't changed it because honestly not much has changed, you know, as far as what we're able to do. You know, our income sometimes grows, but so does our family. So, you know, the costs go up and we've got six children and we've got all the things you have to worry about. This year, like last year, we're planning to give $1,000 towards the vision offering. Now, again, for some of you, you might think, that's it? And here's the thing, for us, that's a stretch. For some of you think, wow, I can't believe you guys are going to give $1,000. Well, you know, we really love this place, and we really believe in what's going on here. And I'm not saying that you have to give $1,000 because we gave $1,000. And I'm not saying that for some of you, $1,000 is nothing. It's not stretching you at all, and you should consider giving more. All I'm saying is this, you ought to consider the willingness of your own heart. Do you love this place? Do you believe in what the work that's being done here? And are you able to stretch yourself? You know, we're giving $1,000, but honestly, we've been saving that money for several months to be able to give. to the vision offering. We knew the vision offering was coming. We made the first announcement back in January, and hopefully some of you have been doing the same thing. But the point is this, you got to consider the willingness of your heart. How willing are you to give? And it ought to come out of love. It should come sacrificially, and it should be done cheerfully. It should be done willingly. Honestly, next week when we put our vision offering check in the offering, I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm going to be happy. Why? Because I believe in what's going on here. I believe in the work that this church is doing. It's not because I'm the pastor, but look, I believe that what we're doing is the right thing to do. I believe that we're doing the work of God. So you got to consider the work that will be supported with the vision offering. And you ought to consider the willingness of your own heart to give. And I'm giving you permission. I'm giving you permission. If you're not willing to give, don't feel pressure from us to give. But if you say, no, I love this place, and I want to give cheerfully, then I would ask you to consider sacrificing. Like David, and say, I'm not just going to give that which costs me nothing. I'm going to give, and I want to give above and beyond. I want to give to my power and above my power. I want to sacrifice for God, and that sacrifice may look different for different people. Some of you teenagers could give to the vision offering. We don't expect you to give what a grown person who's working a full-time job is giving, but you can give. You can sacrifice. You can give to the Lord. So you ought to consider the work, and you ought to consider your willingness. Thirdly, this morning, you ought to consider the wealth that you have to give to the offering. You ought to consider the wealth that you have to the offering. If you can make your way back to 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to go back to 1st, 2nd Corinthians, so make sure you keep your place there. But go to 1 Chronicles 29. You ought to consider the wealth. There are lots of passages that deal with special offerings in the Bible. You can find them in Leviticus, you can find them in Exodus, you can find them in Nehemiah, you can find them in Ezra, you can find them in 1st and 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings. There's lots of passages that deal with giving special. You can find it in the New Testament. I would say that 1st Chronicles 29, the passage we're in this morning, is probably my favorite passage. When it comes to giving, my favorite passage in regards to giving, because there's this concept in the Bible, and it's throughout the entire Bible, but I feel like it's the most clearly articulated here in 1 Chronicles 29, and it is a few things in regards to our wealth. Remember, David's raising money, and he says, look, you got to consider the work that we're doing here, it's magnificent, it's the work of the Lord, it's the palace is for the Lord, and he said, you got to consider your heart, he said, I've set my affection to the heart of God, and I'm willing to give towards the things of God, but then David, he says, you got to consider your wealth, and he says these things, and I love these verses when it comes to giving. He says, he begins by saying this, everything belongs to God. 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 10. He says, wherefore, Bible says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, notice what David says. He says, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Then he says this, and if you don't mind writing in your Bible, maybe you should consider underlining these words in your Bible. He says, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth, notice these words, he says, is thine. He says, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. And keep in mind, he's raising money for the special offering. He says, I'm giving to the house of the Lord because I believe in the work of God, because I believe it's great and it's for the Lord and it's magnificent and it's magnificent. And he says, I'm doing it because I've set my affection there and I want to sacrifice and I want to do it cheerfully. And the people said, hey, we're willing to give. And then David said, great, but consider your wealth. And he says, all that is in heaven and in earth, speaking to God, he says, is thine. He says, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. He says, everything belongs to God. And then he says this, anything we have to give came from God to begin with. I mean, notice verse 12. He says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, any riches that I have, any honor that I have, any power, any might, any ability, if I'm great, if I have strength, if I've had success, if I've got the money and the wealth and the health to be able to give, he says, anything I have came from God. Because everything belongs to God. He says it's all God's. And then he says this. He says, when we give to God, we're just giving. Because he says, look, everything belongs to God. And everything you have and everything I have came from God. And then David says this, when we give, we're just giving to God from what God gave to us. Notice verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able, notice, that we should be able to offer so, don't miss the word, willingly. David says, we're willing to give. We're able to give and we're willing to get after this sort. But then he says, look, we're willing and we're able. We have the power and we have our hearts is right. But he says, who am I that I should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? He says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. He says, look, everything I have, David would say, everything I have came from God. And from what God gave me is what I'm giving back to God. He says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Look, you're not taking it with you. You're just a stranger. You're a foreigner. You're just a pilgrim walking through this earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Notice verse 16. He says, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name, he says, cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. He said, when we raise money to do the work of God, he said, all this store that we've accumulated, that we're going to give to God, he says, it came from you. It cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. And of thine own have we given thee. So you got to consider the wealth that you have to give unto the Lord, because everything belongs to God. Anything you have to give came from God. And when we give to God, we're just giving back to God from what he gave to us. So you got to consider the work that's being done. You got to consider the willingness that your heart has. And you got to consider your own wealth and realize that every good gift cometh from above. That every good gift is given from the Father of lights. You got to consider these things before the vision offering. Now we're getting ready to finish up here. Let me just give you a few more thoughts. Go to the book of Ephesians if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. If you kept your place there in 2 Corinthians, you're going to go past Galatians into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We were in Ephesians 4 on Wednesday night, and I purposely did not deal with this verse because I knew I'd be dealing with it this morning. While you turn there, I'll read to you out of Deuteronomy 8:18, and it goes with the idea of what we've been talking about, that everything we have belongs to God, everything we have came from God, and anything we give to God came from him to begin with. Deuteronomy 8:18, the Bible says this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Just in conclusion, let me just give you a couple of things. When God gives us the ability to make money, it is so that we can give some of it away. When God gives you, nowhere in the Bible will you find this concept that God gives you the ability to make money so you can hoard it all, so you can keep it all, so you can accumulate just a big wealth for you. When God gives you the ability to make money, this is not the only thing God wants you to do. There are other things he wants you to do. But one of the reasons that God gives you the ability to make money is so that you can give some of it away. Are there in Ephesians 4, look at verse 28. Remember Wednesday night, we're talking about the old man, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Ephesians 4:28, he says, let him that stole steal no more. but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Now you and I would think, hey, the guy that was stealing before, as the old man, put that off and put on the new man, go to work so you can support yourself. Now that's true. And the Bible says that if a man isn't willing to work, he ought not eat. But if you look at this verse, though, that's not what necessarily what he's saying. Now, that's understood, and that's part of it. But he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. You say, yeah, so that way he can feed himself. So that way he can provide for himself. So that way he can provide for his family. So that way he can take care of himself and not steal from others. All of that is good, and all of that is true, and all of that is biblical. But that's not what he says. He says, let him work that he may be able to give to him that needeth. And all I'm telling you is this, that when God gives you the ability to work, and God gives you the ability to gain wealth, when God gives you the ability to make money, he expects you to provide for yourself and provide for your family and to be able to live in a nice house and have clothes and all those things and all those necessities that we have. But you know, he also expects you to give. He says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him work. He says, let him work hard. Let him work with his own hands. You say, why? That he may give to him that needeth. When God gives us the ability to make money, it is though that we can give some of it away. And I want you to know this just as we end. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to go to Luke 6 and we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians 9 and we'll be done, all right? Luke 6 and 2 Corinthians 9 and we'll finish up. When God gives you the ability to make money, it is so that we can give some of it away. But let me just say this. The Bible teaches this concept, and I'm not up here as a prosperity preacher, but I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. No matter how much we give to God, we cannot outgive God. No matter how much we give to God, no matter how much you give to God, you cannot. You say, Pastor Menace, you know, can you afford to give $1,000? Honestly, we've got some things come, you know, going on in our lives personally, not bad things, just some things that we're doing that are going to require some finances. And it would be much easier for us to not give that money and to put it into other areas of our life. But I know this, and my wife and I, we've seen, we can attest to this, that you cannot outgive God. Amen. And when we give to God, we're giving to God from what he gave to us to begin with. And it all belongs to God anyway. So when God gives you the ability to make money, it's so that you can give some of it away. And no matter how much you give, you cannot outgive God. Luke 6:38, notice what the Bible says. Give. Give. These letters are in red. These are words that came out of the mouth of Jesus. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. He says, give. He says, look, you give. God says, you give, and based off of your generosity, he says, the measure that you give. He says, I think the analogy he's using here, and I've said this to you before, is he's using the analogy of like a measuring cup. And I when I read this, I think of like someone has a pot of flour or something, a bowl of flour, and they've got a measuring cup, and they're measuring out a certain amount. And Jesus said, hey, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, let me just say this. I'm not standing up here and telling you, you give $1,000, and God's going to give you back $10,000, all right? The Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible does say when you give, God will give back to you. Now, that may be financially, but, you know, there's other things in this world that are not financial blessings. It might just be health. It might just be, you know, a happy marriage and well-behaved children. You know, he might bless you in different ways and even greater ways. But he says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure. Now he says, look, he says, with the same measure. You see that at the end of the verse? With the same measure ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Here's what he's saying. God says, I'm up in heaven and I've got a bucket full of blessings that I want to give to you. But I'm going to wait for you to take your bucket of blessings, which, by the way, came from me to begin with, God would say. And I'm going to see how much you're going to measure out. Now, you've got different sizes. You've got a small little scoop, a medium-sized scoop, a large scoop. God says, I'm going to wait to see which scoop you reach out of and you reach out of and you give. And then God says, I'm going to take that same. He says, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. He says, I'm going to take the same measuring cup and then I'm going to scoop out and measure to you. And he says, the only difference is, when you measure it, You know, it might not be completely full. It looks kind of full. Hopefully there's some air pockets in there. He says, when I do it, he says, I'm going to press it down. I'm going to shake it together. I'm going to make sure there's no air pockets. He said, when I give it to you, it's going to be running over. He said, I'm going to make sure that you get more than what you gave, but I'm going to limit myself to the measuring cup you gave. So I don't know about you, but when it's time for me to give, I want to reach for that big cup. I want to reach for the biggest measuring cup that I can handle, because I want God to reach for the same cup. He says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll finish up right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. While you turn there, let me read to you this little paragraph. It's from an article called The Man Who Gave 90%. I'll just read to you a little bit. R.G. Letourneau lived from 1888 to 1969 and was a Christian industrialist who dedicated his life to being a businessman for God. He was hugely successful designing and developing his own line of earth-moving equipment. Letourneau was the maker of nearly 300 inventions and had hundreds of patents in his lifetime. As he succeeded financially, he increased his giving to the point where he was giving 90% of his income to the Lord's work. And I'm not telling you need to give 90% of your income to the Lord's work, but I'm just telling you this is what this guy did. And here's what he said. He's quoted as saying, R.G. Letourneau said, I shovel out the money and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel. And here's all I'm telling you. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. God says, if you give, it shall be given unto you again. He says, with the same measure, but mine will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And by the way, the context is a special offering. He's talking to this church, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, about giving. And he says, when you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. When you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Say, Pastor, what is it that you're trying to accomplish this morning? Here's all I'm trying to accomplish. And I realize our attendance is down. It's coronavirus. People are in panic. People are scared. People are running for the hills, and they're in caves right now, and whatever. But I'd like you to consider. For the next week, I'd like you to take the envelope home that we provided for you. And I'm asking you to pray. If you would pray every day, we would appreciate that. If you pray that the Lord would do a work with the vision offering, and that you pray for yourself. But I'd like you to consider, would you consider the work that's being done here at Ready Baptist Church? Do you believe in what we're doing? And if it's helped you, would you consider helping the church? And would you consider your own willingness, your own heart? And if you're not willing and you'd give grudgingly, please don't give. But if your heart is filled with love and you'd like to give cheerfully and you're willing to sacrifice, would you ask the Lord over the next several days, Lord, what is the biggest measuring cup that I could do that would be appropriate for me? Because I know that when I give to you, I give to you based off what you've given to me anyway. And when I give to you, I can't outgive you anyway. And would you consider your own wealth? That God has blessed you, and that you're able to support based off that. Would you pray? Would you pray that the Lord does a great work here next week as we take our vision offering? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, I realize sometimes people just don't like it when you talk about money, and I get it. It's not something we do a lot of, but it's not something we apologize for either. The Bible is filled with these verses and these concepts of giving. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would work in the hearts of everyone here. Lord, all I'm really asking is that we would all go home and pray and consider participating in the vision offering. And for some people, it's going to look different than others. What they're able to do and able to sacrifice will be different than what others are able to do. But Lord, I just pray that there would be an equality in the sacrifice.